Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio network. Well, the big news recently has been the second assassination attempt on President Trump. Disturbing details about the would-be assassin staking out the president on one of his golf courses in Florida, September 15th, being fired on and fleeing, then being arrested by police after a bystander noted the would-be shooter's car and license plate number and turned it over to authorities. The news was just breaking about this in the media as we were first playing our last show. The second would-be assassin, Ryan Ruth, has now been formally charged with attempting to assassinate Trump. He reportedly has been working in recruiting foreign military figures for Ukraine. He reportedly has a lengthy criminal record for which he's never served any prison time, according to Alex Jones on Infowars.com. Now, if he's been involved in recruiting foreign fighters for Ukraine, he's almost certainly has had some kind of contact with our Central Intelligence Agency. That alone is something that raises red flags for me. It should be for others, I believe. Anyway, while on site Secret Service agents discovered Ralph's rifle barrel pointing through some bushes in Trump's direction as Trump was approaching a point where he could be fired at on the golf course there and fired on him, allegedly prompting him to flee, there are many more disturbing details about this matter which, again, call into question the true motives of the leaders of our country, our government, and paint a picture of another catastrophic operational failure for those tasked with protecting Trump. How was it, for example, that Ralph was able to know Trump was going to be at that golf course when he was there, when Ralph was there, staking it out? How was Ralph able to take his position there with a weapon and other gear some 12 hours before being forced to flee as Trump was approaching on the golf course? I think it's also been reported that Ralph's cell phone has been examined and showed he was in the vicinity of the golf course over several days prior to him waiting there with his rifle for Trump to arrive. All this is very concerning indeed, and it all fills me with yet more dread about what is coming in the 2024 election. It's being argued by some observers that This is yet more evidence that people within our government want Trump dead. Of course, this is all speculation, and we may never know who, if anyone, in positions of authority in the government could actually be involved. But it all certainly merits serious investigation. Following the Ralph attempt on Trump's life, there were reports of a possible third attempt. A bomb left near a Trump rally on Long Island, but this appears to have been untrue according to what I have seen so far about reports coming from the media on it. Many Trump supporters, however, expect there to be more attempts on Trump's life. I thought I saw a video of Congressman Matt Gaetz claiming that there may be currently 5 Trump assassination teams inside the U.S., 3 funded by foreign or fielded by foreign governments and the other 2 from domestic sources. I was listening to one of the left's most hated conspiracy theorists, Alex Jones, who I mentioned earlier, who has been right, as commentator and podcast host Joe Rogan says, a lot more than he's been wrong. But I was listening to Jones claiming that conspirators in and outside our government want Iranian assassins to kill Trump to throw suspicion off these domestic conspirators. But again, this is all more speculation at this point. Just the other day, I did see a it reported that Trump was warning Iran that if that nation tries to kill him, the U.S. could obliterate some of the Iranian cities. Angry rhetoric, but I can't blame Trump when you consider what he's been going through. Certainly, there would be severe retaliation if it were established that the mullahs running the Iranian government were involved in such a thing. But let's also consider that Iran is a key ally of China, and our government, which does a lot to help China and has done a lot to help China, also has done a lot to help Iran. Still, all this doesn't give me confidence that we will have a truly free and fair election this November 5, now just a few weeks away. So with fears and concerns about the integrity of the U.S. 2024 election and the multiple attempts at assassinating Trump in mind, let's play a few related video clips starting off today's program. I'm going to play these first four clips that we're showing on today's program back to back. The first is from an advertisement presented by Jim Rickards, former CIA advisor, economist, and financial authority, in which Rickards is warning of chaos and crises he sees as distinctly possible following the 2024 election. I thought I first saw the link to this by one of Trump's supporters posting it on Trump's Truth Social network, with words stating to the effect that Rickards thinks Trump will win the election and Kamala Harris will be installed as president. Sound familiar? I couldn't confirm this in looking over what I could of Rickards before the show, of what Rickards has put out there. But he has been saying that the election, but it sure does seem to me that a likely scenario, given the appalling corruption we've seen in the last elections. And remember, they got away with it. The second clip is from a few minutes of a recent edition of the Dan Bongino show on Rumble.com, where Bongino has almost 3.5 million followers. Bongino, a former Secret Service agent, has been highly critical of the leadership of his former employer and their handling of Trump's protection. Despite this, as Bongino frequently points out, there are many brave and dedicated Secret Service agents and others within our government who support our Constitution and are trying to do their job. We will then jump to the third clip, which is a rebroadcast by of Elon Musk on X.com from the short video clip from the Western Lensman, and is titled The Democrats' Plan to Entrench Single-Party Rule, Explained in Under 2 Minutes. Musk reposted it with the comment, "This is exactly what is happening." How true. As conservative commentator Mark Levin has observed, we are witnessing revolution by immigration, that is, communist revolution. We then move to the fourth video clip, which is a few minutes from a recent podcast episode from multimillionaire inventor and businessman and elections integrity activist Jovan Hutton Pulitzer about cleaning up, or should I say attempts at cleaning up, our horribly corrupted voter rolls. If I'm understanding him correctly, Pulitzer is lamenting what he sees as the attitude of elections integrity activist Mike Lindell and others, who Pulitzer believes are largely dismissing the need for serious attention to this matter on the grounds that it's not possible to do much about it. Very scary, if true.
According to former advisor to the CIA, the Pentagon, and the White House, Jim Rickards, this obscure 1866 law signed by Congress after the Civil War could seal the fate of this year's presidential election. Most Americans have never heard of this law. But Democrats are planning to use it to block Trump from taking power, even if he wins the election. If you think that sounds like a crazy conspiracy theory, just listen to what Democrat Representative Jamie Raskin recently told the media. It's going to be up to us on January 6th, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. They're telling you exactly what they're planning to do, which is why Jim Rickards is warning every American to prepare for an election meltdown of biblical proportions. After correctly predicting the Great Recession of 2008, Trump's 2016 election, the COVID crisis of 2020, and Biden dropping out of the race, he's now predicting that this coming election meltdown will trigger a 50% stock market crash, the final collapse of the U.S. dollar, violent riots on the streets, and even potential martial law, with a temporary suspension of some of our most fundamental rights. Jim Rickards is a lawyer and economist who's worked at the highest levels of Wall Street and international finance across five decades. In the 1970s, he helped the U.S. government craft the Petrodollar Accord, which solidified the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency. In the early 1980s, he helped end the Iran hostage crisis for the Reagan administration. In the 1990s, he worked with members of the Federal Reserve to solve the long-term capital management banking crisis. And in the 2000s, he worked with senior military leaders at the Pentagon and the highest ranks of the CIA to help prevent the next 9/11. Today, for the first time ever, he's going public with the five steps you need to take to help protect you and your family from what could be the biggest constitutional crisis in our nation's history.
Of course, Hillary Clinton had to chime in on all of this, adding fuel to the fire of media people that really at this point, the media at this point, they haven't, Katie Pavlich or Dana Pree, I don't remember who I was watching someone, and they had said something to the effect of, after Donald Trump was shot in the head, there was like a 5-minute period where the media was like, maybe we shouldn't say so many awful, evil, demonic things about Donald Trump. Maybe 5 minutes. That was it. There isn't even a 5-minute period now. Now they're at double barrel, middle finger, F Donald Trump. Donald Trump deserved it. Matter of fact, the triple barrel. We got to give him the triple. Triple barrel, middle finger. Donald Trump deserved it. And Donald Trump brought the assassination attempt on himself. And if he doesn't shut up, I don't know, someone may kill him again, and it's definitely his fault. You've now got Hillary Clinton, the most disgusting human being in Democrat politics, a person I worked with and had direct experience with, who was the most demonic, evil protectee I ever had the misfortune of being around. A woman with not an ounce of morality who would throw you under a car in a second if you delayed her 5 minutes from getting from a second. The meanest protect. A woman who in the Secret Service, getting assigned to Hillary Clinton's detail, if you didn't live in New York, was considered a punishment assignment. Just so you know, that's a fact. That's how much agents and everyone hated being around Hillary Clinton, has now decided to chime in too. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to get to Hillary Clinton. It's our last break. I'm going to show you what's going on in Springfield, too. So you know, folks, there's something really sinister going on behind the scenes here. Hillary Clinton is a genuinely awful person. When she was running for the U.S. Senate up in New York, I had the misfortune of being around this woman and her team. They are just really, genuinely awful, terrible people. Horrible. Everybody hated working with her. It was a punishment assignment. She is mean. She's malicious. Her own staff lies and pretends they like her. When behind the scenes, we would go out after a trip sometime, they would tell you how mean and awful she was. She is a terrible person. You want to know about a threat to democracy? Look up the last name Clinton. There's no bigger threat to democracy than these two buffoons, okay? Here's Hillary Clinton. This is after the second assassination attempt, but before the third of Donald Trump, the one we've seen today, of course, right? Here is Hillary Clinton after the second assassination attempt, basically pinning it on Donald Trump and then doubling down and claiming that, you know what, if she disagrees with your politics and you speak out online, that criminal charges should be considered. This actually happened. We are now living in the communist state. If the Democrats take over, that's not tomorrow. That's today. Check this out.
Just as Mueller indicted a lot of Russians who were engaged in direct election interference and boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence.
You understand what she just said? You have a United States Senator, former First Lady, and a woman who was within a hair's length of the presidency, was the Democrat nominee, who is now claiming, if you disagree with her politics, that not only civil charges should be considered, which is humiliating enough for her to say and tyrannical enough, that criminal charges should be considered. This is an actual quote. Listen to me. People out there considering voting Democrat, listen, please, please, please. Take the cotton out of your ears for a second and please listen to what I'm telling you. I understand your frustration with the Republican Party. I have it too. Republicans are probably not the solution to all your problems. I get it. I understand that. However, I'm here to tell you that the cause of your problems are unquestionably the Democrats. So you have two choices in an imperfect world, okay? You can vote in a party that is has a lot of flaws. Granted, I'm with you. I understand. I'm not here to defend what they've done. A lot of the government spending, a lot of the crappy expansions of government, a lot of the failure to secure the homeland, a lot of this is Republicans as well. They are not the solution. They could be, but they may not be right now. However, the immediate cause of your troubles, censorship, boycotts, forced vaccination, the explosion in COVID and the failure to anybody to respond to it the right way outside of ridiculous mandates and all this other crap, the national security issues we have overseas, the failure of the Secret Service and nobody gets fired. These are Democrats. The inflation crisis, the open border, the Springfield, Ohio immigration situation. All of this is them. We didn't do this. We may not have solved it. I'm with you, but we didn't do it. And in an imperfect world, sometimes you only have a binary choice. And in that binary choice, stop the bleeding first.
The Democrat open borders plan to entrench single party rule, explained in under 2 minutes. One, flood the country with untold millions of illegals by land, sea, and air from all over the world. Enough to eclipse the populations of 36 individual U.S. states so far. Two, prioritize the needs of these millions of non-citizens over the needs of the American citizen, with free flights, buses, hotels, meals, and phones, ensuring their loyalty to the political party that imported them. Three, keep them in the country at all costs, even when they commit violent crime like murder and rape. Attack the language used to describe the criminals, as opposed to the criminals themselves. Slander critics as racist. Four, ensure their privileges are made irrevocable with city and state sanctuary laws that act as population magnets. Codify permanent status and ensure non-cooperation with ICE. Five, count the non-citizens in the census that will determine congressional apportionment in the House of Representatives. As of now, that would equal 13 extra congressional districts. A tremendous amount of electoral power. Six, wage a massive, heavily funded lawfare campaign to change state voting laws that legalize mass mail-in ballots, no signature verification, and no proof of citizenship requirements, making it nearly impossible to prove voter fraud. Seven, lock in the permanent voting majority with campaign promises of lavish benefits and permanent privileges, enshrining generational fealty to the Democrat Party. Eight, win elections. Nine, entrenched single-party rule has been achieved. The best part? Your tax dollars are paying for it.
So you have a centralized statewide voter roll that's on networked machines, servers. It has a public-facing internet interface. That's it. That's all I need to know that it's blown. That's a centralized statewide voter roll that was mandated by Help America Vote Act. They have these all over the country. And it's not just that you have a public-facing internet interface to it, but multiple organizations have what's called an API or an application programming interface. In other words, a machine-to-machine interface into that voter roll. And I'm telling you this because when people say, well, we have to clean up the voter rolls, it's true that they're not following the law. It's true that they're not in good faith maintaining them in accordance with Title 52 that requires that the voter rolls be both secure and accurate. That's a requirement imposed on the secretaries of state who've received the Help America Voting Act and CARES Act funding to maintain those voting systems. What nobody's going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you, is you cannot clean those rolls. You're sweeping a dirt floor. Those things can be changed in microseconds, and they are changed in microseconds, and we've got proof of that happening in multiple states.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to educate you on today, because that is the advice that I've got to hear in the most important meetings in the world. And that's the funded voice that gets put out there, that's funded by Mike Lindell, that has now brought the parties together where we're saying the same things that the Democrats were saying, is count every vote, and every vote must be counted, be it counted by machine or hand. You'll find the other part, this, right? Training explainer. Now, he talks about the system being blown. I don't know how he's an election expert. I do know he's an election expert on things being blown. But all of a sudden, we have all these experts all over the place that are just going to tell you how it works. I'm going to let you decide for yourself. Because, number one, I do think God is on President Trump's side. And God may give us a miracle coming the election. But we cannot waste it again. We cannot waste it again. Now, as I do this, I want to remind you of one thing. I just showed you. Here you go. You've got to understand. Anywhere from 8 to 10 million illegals have been packed on our books. We could have caught every one of them. We could have kicked them out as they came in, as we kicked out 21 million bad ones. But that voice that somebody paid for, and they got into every office everywhere, convince people, oh, it's just the dirt floor. Oh, that's just not what it is. That's kind of like running the border and saying, well, we can't stop the illegals coming in, because if we just send them back home to their countries, they're just going to come back here. That kind of sounds like a familiar plan, doesn't it? Okay. During this time, and you got to understand, when you register a non-citizen, when you actually register them, that in itself is a crime. Now, it's a gift for us because it's the counties and states doing it, which is racketeering. But these so-called experts and whatever don't even understand any of that, or they're misguiding people intentionally. But see, those were gifts when they started doing it. Now, during this time as well, the system basically said, okay, that it's not a crime if a non-citizen votes their ballot if they thought they could cast a ballot. In other words, it's not a crime if they thought they could vote. It's not a crime if they thought they can vote. It's just a boo-boo. Now, you got to understand, when that vote comes in, the moment that vote comes in or goes into a drop box or mail-in or early voting, separated from the envelope, there is no way to pull it back. Hand counting cannot catch these. Hand counting will not catch these. You got it? So I want you to understand that. So now for the start of this program, I just want you to put yourself in the seat of the illegal. Just put yourself there for a moment. And let's say you know the law, I can't vote. But all of a sudden, you think, well, maybe they do want me to vote. Now, the reason you think maybe they do want me to vote is because, well, you went to a driver's license, you got to get an ID. Then they automatically register you to vote. Well, wouldn't that lead you to believe you can vote if they register you to vote? Well, of course it would. Then they get the driver's license to you. Then they get a voter registration card to you. Now, would that potentially lead you to believe that you could vote? Well, that might lead you to believe you can vote. In California, let's say you're a Chinese immigrant. You're not even working on naturalization yet. You're illegal. But they send you an early voting ballot in Chinese with the letter to your address telling you where to vote. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you think quite possibly that you could vote? Well, of course you would.
Here are a few more video clips to wrap up today's program. These are about Kamala Harris. Someone in the alternative media said recently that no one really knows what this woman actually stands for. Of course, we know she's trying to reinvent herself and turn the page, as she says, to put everything she's done in the past behind her and present herself in a new light to voters. Her true beliefs and intentions are currently being kept from the public by those running her and her campaign in order to sanitize her radical leftist past and present her, as they did with Joe Biden, as some kind of political moderate. And she's been saying that she cares about the middle class and she's going to, and small businesses, and she's going to give you all this money, $25,000 to purchase a home and other government largesse. This would undoubtedly be done with printing of yet more trillions of dollars we don't have, taking us further and further into very unsustainable debt. And undoubtedly, it would include millions of illegal aliens soon to be made citizens, if Harris and her allies, the communists and the globalists, have their way. But she's clearly an adamant, longtime woke political activist, by her own words, that is, a longtime dedicated communist, with what has been described as the most liberal, that is, communist, voting record when she served in the U.S. Senate. She's always been a cheerleader for everything Joe Biden and his handlers have done domestically and internationally. So let's not kid ourselves about what this woman is and represents and would be as president. These clips show just a few of the hardcore leftist thinking of Harris. And after these first two clips about her views, a third is from a recent episode of the Liz Wheeler Show on YouTube, in which, as President Trump noted during the debate with Harris, there is significant evidence that from analysis of cell phone data, that thousands of people are being paid and transported to and from Harris's campaign appearances. And this would be done to make Harris appear a popular candidate.
Kamala Harris is inspiring and very capable. The more people get to know her, they're going to be particularly impressed by her ability.
The nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator.
I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal. There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
Would you ban offshore drilling?
Yes.
What is the solution for voters in the fossil fuel industry?
Giving the workers an ability to transition.
We're not going to treat people who are undocumented cross borders criminals. That's correct.
Raise your hand if you think it should be a civil offense rather than a crime to cross the border without documentation.
Abolish ICE.
Yeah. Is that a position you agree with?
And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
Outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Would you support changing the dietary guidelines? The food pyramid. What would people
Yes. Yes.
To reduce red meat specifically.
Yes.
People who are convicted in prison, like the Boston Marathon bomber, on death row, people who are convicted of sexual assault, they should be able to vote?
I think we should have that conversation.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
So for people out there who like their insurance, well, they don't get to keep it.
Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
I am opposed to any policy that would deny any human being public health, period.
The more people get to know her, they're going to be particularly impressed by her ability.
But in the area of reparations for descendants of Africans enslaved.
If you elected president, would you sign that bill if it came across your desk?
When I am elected president, I will sign that bill.
So here's the story of the day today and the based take on it. A data scientist tracked the cell phones and other electronic devices of attendees at Kamala Harris's rallies all across the nation. Now, you might remember how this worked from Dinesh D'Souza's movie 2000 Mules. Every cell phone or electronic device has a unique identifying number. It's not necessarily connected to our account with that device, meaning our name is not associated with that device. But there is a unique number associated with that device that can be tracked by GPS. And anyone who wants to buy this data can buy this data. So your phone, for example, or my phone, if I decide to go to the grocery store, my phone will start pinging as I'm driving in my car all the way to the grocery store and all the way back to my home. Now, the unique code that's associated with my phone will show up as a data point on every GPS ping. And if you want, you could buy that data and figure out where my phone, wouldn't necessarily know it was me, but the number associated with my phone, you'd find out that it went to the grocery store and then back to my home. Now, this is interesting because on September 12th, a data scientist analyzed the cell phone identification numbers of all of these devices at Kamala Harris's rallies. And this is what he found. He said 5,003 mobile devices at Kamala Harris's rally in Charlotte, North Carolina on Thursday afternoon at Bojangles Coliseum. It appears over 3,600 of them came from Georgia, mainly from Atlanta, Georgia, and approximately 720 of them came from Savannah, Georgia. Now, if you look on a map, Atlanta, Georgia is about 4 or 5 hours away from Charlotte, North Carolina. So it's not unheard of that people could get in their car and drive 4 or 5 hours to a Kamala Harris rally, but the sheer number of them, that 3,600 out of 5,000 came from Atlanta, Georgia, it does raise some questions. It does seem to suggest that there might have been a coordinated effort to get people to Kamala Harris's rally. Well, this data scientist delved into the numbers a little bit further, and he said 90% of these cell phones have been to Kamala Harris rallies before. In fact, 90% of them have been to three or more rallies. And 54% of them were even at an Arizona rally and a Nevada rally. So this is where it got interesting for me, because I'm reading through this and I'm thinking, okay, well, it's not unheard of that that number of people could have driven from Atlanta to Charlotte. But if you tell me that 54% of them had gone to Arizona, gone to Nevada, that's not the same drivable distance. Well, here's where it gets interesting. Fast forward almost 2 weeks to September 21st, and this data scientist says 9,344 mobile devices at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, Wisconsin today. Was a Kamala Harris rally. 487 appear to be staff. 89% of them have been to three or more Kamala Harris events and rallies. Approximately 30% were from the Atlanta and Savannah, Georgia area, which suggests that these same people who traveled from Atlanta, Georgia over to Charlotte, North Carolina, also traveled from Atlanta, Georgia up to Madison, Wisconsin. A little bit longer of a trek. Now, again, this isn't a smoking gun necessarily, but it does suggest that Kamala Harris could be astroturfing her rallies, that she could be bussing in activists or potentially even people being paid to attend her rallies to make them look larger and more vibrant than they actually are.
It's obvious to me that, just as with Biden, we Trump supporters are up against enormously powerful, secretive forces running massive, well-organized election interference operations to throw the November election to Harris and defeat Donald Trump. As Alex Jones has declared, he believes perhaps 50% of the election cheating planned or hoped for by the corrupt forces backing Harris has been defeated or thwarted. Even if Jones is right, that still leaves a hell of a lot of cheating being planned to steal another election from us. Forgive me if I don't have a rosy, positive perspective on November 5, but given what's happened with the past two elections, can you blame me? If you believe in our great constitutional republic and all the wonderful freedoms and privileges you enjoy, whether or not you realize it, and yes, sure, there are imperfections and flaws, and life isn't always easy and a joy, but if you don't want to be enslaved and see your life as you have known it disappear, then you damned well better get out there and vote. At the very least, vote and do everything possible to see that your legal vote is correctly counted. Well, that's all for another show. As always, we hope you found our content of interest and value. You can see a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com and elsewhere on the internet, including YouTube and rumble.com. Look for us again 2 weeks from now with another show in this same time slot. And have a great rest of your day and evening.